We'll go back to shattering news. A couple of items in the news, beginning with Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney is the reason that America invaded Afghanistan and made that country infinitely worse and more dangerous than it was previously. Broke the country. Shed American blood and coin, making a bad situation worse. All based on lies. Dick Cheney is the reason the Islamic State exists. He's not the answer as to how to deal with the Islamic State. He created the Islamic State. It was Dick Cheney and his puppet, King George II, that invaded Iraq, where the Islamic State was conceived. The Islamic State is a response to the American invasion of Iraq. Had America not invaded Iraq, the Islamic State would not exist. He is the reason for the problem. And rather than parading around Washington as if he is the answer man, he should be on his knees begging America for forgiveness for his stupidity. And this is not casual stupidity. Hundreds of thousands of people have died. Trillions of dollars have been squandered because of his deceptions, because of his mistakes. And yet, he's not only parading around Washington as the expert, but the moronic news service associated with Salem Broadcasting is presenting him as a statesman, a man of experience. It is pathetic. Now, as the President of the United States, the Obaminator, makes his speech this evening, let's hope to hell he does not provide what Republicans are asking for, which is a comprehensive plan to eradicate the Islamic State. Because just as I told all who would listen when we invaded Afghanistan that we would lose, that we would make a bad situation worse, and that when we invaded Iraq, it would be just like Vietnam. And everything that I said turned out to be true. I am telling you here and now that the United States, by attacking the Islamic State, will simply make the situation worse. America cannot eradicate the Islamic State. Lastly, I would like to talk about Putin's response, Russia's response to America's aggression through NATO and through the CIA in the Ukraine, whereby Russia is advancing its technology in its most deadly weapons, all aimed at the United States. Nuclear weapons aimed at the United States. Things that never would have happened had it not been for the grotesque and immoral miscalculations of Obamanation, whereby America sponsored the rebellion in the Ukraine and then armed and equipped them to attack the Russian citizens living there. When you kick the cubs of a grizzly bear, you are vastly more likely to be killed by that bear. It was stupid. Just as it was stupid to invade Iraq, just as it was stupid to invade Afghanistan, just as it is stupid to bomb the Islamic State in Syria. That's it, Glenn.
Well,
what'd you find out on SARS, which is the coronavirus?
This wasn't SARS. This is enterovirus B68. It's comparatively mild respiratory virus, but this is the devil's in the details in this case. That somebody quoted a Fox News article in which they said, officials admitted 540 admissions. No, but they didn't 540 patients, but they didn't mean admitted them as in admitting them all at one time. They meant they admitted to the fact that they had a census in the hospital of 540, which was a new record.
So Fox News, fair and balanced, did not know how to correlate the facts to support their story.
Right. Well, no, it wasn't Fox News' fault. It was just the way, when you used the word admitted, it was used improperly, but it gave the impression that they admitted 540 cases in short order. But they just admitted to a high census. So this is all, and they're saying nobody's admitting that they have any cases that, but they have an awful lot of mild respiratory infections going on, and to be honest with you, I got to wonder about, a lot of these kids just got their shots for going back to school. Now all of a sudden all these kids are sick. It's like, maybe CDC ought to do some tracking on
illness from the virus. Yeah, I've had vaccinations where, you get a fever and a achy sensation after getting the vaccination because you're putting the disease into your body. It's supposed to be a form of the disease that can't mutate and spread, but it is nonetheless a form of the disease that requires your body's antibodies to respond to it and often generates a fever and flu-like symptoms when you get the shot. I decided to forego it this year. Some years I take the vaccine, some years I do not.
Yeah. My body doesn't like mercury preservatives very much. I just skip it.
I'm actually doing something this year that I haven't done in a very long time that might make me more resilient, which is that about 4 weeks ago, I walked into my closet and tried to slip on a pair of pants that were abnormally tight, uncomfortably tight. And I said, my choice is here. I can buy larger pants or I can start exercising and go on a diet. And so for the last 3.5 weeks, I have spent a minimum of an hour every day really hard exercise, and I've reduced my calorie intake by 2/3.
Oh, wow.
So I'm a lot healthier than I was a month ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I should take that advice. I definitely need to lose quite a bit of weight. But anyway.
You can't tell it across the radio.
Yeah.
You know.
That's why I love the radio. Gotta love the radio. Cheney, about Cheney, I mean, he didn't seem like such a bad guy. I called his office one time to ask about some of these discrepancies, and he invited me dove hunting.
You're, of course, referring to what happened with Dick Cheney on a dove hunting trip where he shot his partner. Dick Cheney.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and when you look at Dick Cheney, he just looks like the Emperor in the Star Wars series. But Palpatine.
Who does? So have you seen Zbigniew Brzezinski on TV in recent months? I mean, his eyes are getting redder and redder, just like Emperor Palpatine.
Zbigniew Brzezinski is the man who brought us Al Qaeda. Without Zbigniew Brzezinski, there never would have been an Al-Qaeda. Now, there would have been a Taliban because he rented the existing Taliban from Pakistan to start a civil war in a proxy war in Afghanistan during the late 70s, early 80s. And that was Zbigniew Brzezinski's great plan. And then Robert Gates went over there on behalf of the CIA to supply the billions of dollars of American weapons. But had Zbigniew Brzezinski not conceived the plot to fight a proxy war in Afghanistan, there never would have been an Al-Qaeda.
Right. I know.
He's a boy that needs to go on an apology tour as well. He and Dick Cheney could both go on an apology tour.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the video clips of him encouraging the Al-Qaeda fighters that God is on their side and they need to
help. Yeah. Yeah, speaking of Allah and how Allah is on their side and how because of the victorious nation, nature of the Islamic religion, that they will prevail over the infidels. Oh, yeah, he's promoting Islam with American weapons. And we are just despicable.
Oh, he, Kissinger, and Cheney are on my definitely top 10 most evil people in the world list, you know.
Yeah, you know, I actually had a private dinner with Henry Kissinger. Got a lovely note from him following, handwritten note, following the dinner. Had a one-on-one dinner with Henry Kissinger. Talked to him about all manner of things. And, you know, he's a short, little, diminutive guy that is very soft-spoken. You would never know, never even suspect in a one-on-one meeting with Henry Kissinger that he would have authored so many things that were inhospitable to America's interest. But
well, that plus his cryptic remark about, well, this tonight, I guess, and saying Israel wasn't going to exist in 10 years. There's plausible denials about that. But
I don't think he did that. He certainly was no friend of Israel. And he orchestrated some things. The thing that he orchestrated that I think is the most troubling today is that he, working with Jerry Ford, came up with the scheme that was called Atoms for Peace. And America provided the expertise and the manpower and the money to build the first nuclear reactor in Iran during the time that the Shah was there. And then we provided the uranium, 235, to power it. And
well, that was all under the terms of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, supposedly.
Oh, right? Yeah, as we're providing. So the reason that Iran had the capacity to develop its nuclear weapons program is because America, under Henry Kissinger, sponsored the nuclear reactor, and the nuclear reactor that whose daughter products are being refined and to make fissionable material was given by the United States, as was the fuel for that nuclear reactor. Now, we finally, during the Ayatollah period, pulled out, but the French came in and they worked on it for a while, and then the Russians came and they completed it. And you have to ask yourself, why does a country that burns off natural gas because it has so much of it, that it looks at it as a liability, why is a country that floats on natural gas need a nuclear reactor to boil water?
It's pretty inefficient anyway.
Oh, Mike, you know, natural gas is the most efficient way to boil water and the least expensive when you float on an ocean of natural gas. Yeah, no country like Iraq ever needs a nuclear reactor to generate electricity unless they have ulterior motives. We'll be back. The leader of the third largest Islamic group in Syria was killed by an explosion in the northwestern province of Idlib. Ahrar al-Sham said that Hassan Abood was among a number of senior figures who died in the blast at the group's headquarters in the town of Ram Habdan. There were conflicting reports about the cause of the blast, and also it was unclear who was responsible. The Islamic State was accused of killing Ahrar al-Sham's leader earlier this year. The jihadist group has been battling rebel groups for control of northern and eastern Syria since January, when they launched a coordinated offensive to expel it from the country. Thousands of people, of course, have been killed in the infighting between rebel and rebellious Sunni militia groups, as well as between the Sunni militants and Hezbollah and the army of Bashar al-Assad. This explosion targeted a meeting of as many as 50 Ahrar al-Sham leaders that was being conducted, of course, in a basement at the group's heavily fortified headquarters. The Islamic Front, which is the al-Nusra, is an umbrella group under which Ahrar al-Sham is the largest faction. It says that at least a dozen of its senior militants were killed. The president is likely, the Obaminator, is likely to reverse course for political reasons and to arm what he will call moderate Syrian rebels. I'm here to tell you there are none and never have been any moderate jihadists. In Islam, according to the ninth surah of the Quran, which was the second to last revealed, which means it could only be contradicted by the fifth surah, and it's not, a peaceful or moderate Muslim is a contradiction in terms. The Quran literally says that if a Muslim is not a jihadist, if a Muslim chooses peace, that they cease to be a Muslim, that they are a hypocrite, that they are pretending to be something that they are not. But it's not just that the Quran says that you can't be a peaceful Muslim. It tells the good jihadist Muslims, the fundamentalists, to hunt down and kill the peaceful, moderate Muslims. But it's even worse than that, because in the ninth surah, Allah attests to personally ordering the murders of the peaceful, moderate Muslims, who he labels hypocrites, so that he can attend to their torture in the hottest places in hell. So this notion that is being promoted by American congressmen and senators, and will be promoted this evening by the Obaminator, is an outright lie. It is a deception. It is a myth. And so the arms are not going to go to moderate rebels because there are none. There never have been any. There never will be any. The arms are going to go to jihadists. And in Syria, there's only three jihadist groups that are in action. Those aligned with al-Nusra, which have lost the vast preponderance of their militants to the Islamic State, not being killed by the Islamic State, joining the Islamic State and the Islamic State. The third is in opposition to al-Nusra and the Islamic State, but fighting on behalf of Assad. And that's Hezbollah. They're aligned with Iran. And so those are the three militia groups. Now, there's lots of splinter groups, little groups, but all of the splinter groups are aligned with al-Nusra, because a splinter group or a jihadist that was part of a different group like al-Nusra that joins the Islamic State just becomes a member of the Islamic State, a citizen within the Islamic State. And this idea that you're going to arm these allegedly moderate Muslims, rebels in Syria, who are they going to fight? You really think they're going to go fight the fundamentalist Muslims? That they're going to fight the Islamic State? That's as big an illusion, a myth, as Petraeus' stupidity in the Awakening program during the Surge, where he armed what he said were moderate Sunni tribesmen so that they would go fight al-Qaeda, and now they are the Islamic State. There's a reason that I recognize that Islam must be quarantined. Dateline Denver. A 19-year-old suburban Denver woman. She looks like she's 12 years old in the picture. Just goofy. Who federal authorities said intended to wage jihad despite their repeated attempts to stop her, is now expected to plead guilty to admit that that's what she intended to do, trying to help the Islamic State. Shannon Connolly. Boy, there's an Irish name if there ever was. Shannon Connolly was arrested in April while trying to board a flight at Denver International Airport, where she hoped she would ultimately arrive in Syria. She was going to be a jihadist. She was charged with trying to help a terrorist organization, could face up to 5 years in federal prison. Details of her plea agreement have not been made public. Connolly's case has further raised concerns about Americans traveling abroad for jihad. You know, they want to travel abroad for jihad. Why not let them? You want to arm jihadists in Syria? Why not arm the Americans? They're voluntarily going over there to fight. Why is it that that is illegal? The FBI has said it doesn't, well, let me finish this statement and then Glenn, I'd love to hear from you. The FBI says it doesn't know exactly how many Americans are fighting abroad. The United Nations says that the number of foreign fighters in Syria is around 12,000 and they wouldn't know if it was 120,000. Go ahead, Glenn.
No, they had allowed her to board that flight, I'm sure they would have accepted her quite readily as a jihadist. She would be a sexual jihadist.
That is correct. They're not going to allow her to pick up a weapon other than in photo shoots. And she would be raped constantly. And maybe she was looking forward to that. I don't know.
I rather doubt it.
But a woman, you know how many, you know, a woman in Islam has no rights. But an Islamic woman, though, is not a victim. I mean, is a young woman who doesn't want to be sold to some dirty old man and gets tortured by her family and then killed and an honor killing, a victim, you betcha. But most Muslim women choose their fate. They're the most aggressive, snarly, mean, vicious in terms of their attitude. They're the first to tell their children to go off and be jihadists. And they're constantly abused. You know, when they take polls and westernized Muslim countries like Egypt, 97% of the women will say that they have been sexually abused and raped multiple times in their lives. And they will never report the crime because when they report the rape, they are the ones that are punished. And so, you know, to be a woman in Islam is just stupid. I mean, this woman, she's a child. This child, she's a moron. She's an idiot.
Right. And when you hear, like, the women raising the cry of the la-la-la-la-la-la thing they do, you know, in mass. But I would suggest that maybe that, you know, okay, maybe they're complicit, but they really don't have any choices. There's a lot of coercion involved, and it's maybe sort of like a mass Stockholm syndrome, you know.
Clearly is a mass Stockholm syndrome. There's no question that that is the case. But there is, if you did what I have done, and you published a book, and you had a contact us link from the book, like prophetofdoom.net, and you received letters from Muslims, almost universally, the most despicable letters I've received are from women, Muslim women. It becomes impossible when you recognize that Muslim mothers mutilate their daughters at a rate of 250 million. You know, you can't develop any sympathy for them. And I don't. I don't have any. I think that the world ought to care that there's a religion out there that is promoting domestic violence, sexual abuse, child abuse, at the rate that Islam does. I think we ought to be to expose and condemn the religion that abuses so many. But once the woman is infected with Islam, there's no hope for her.
Right.
She's going to be abused. And we can't, cannot help her.
Yeah, it's quite a conundrum. I wanted to address the Obama's upcoming speech for a second.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, they're hyping this so much. You know, I've got to wonder where he's going with it. And I'm just wondering if, you know, the Republicans, if the right wingers are going to provide him with plausible deniability where they can say, you know, with like Senator Cruz and stuff and other senators saying, we've got to destroy, you know, IS. And,
Obama's already released that his goal is to destroy the Islamic State. He won't call them the Islamic State, of course, but he has made it clear that his agenda is not to thwart them, but to destroy them. And while the Islamic State can be thwarted, They cannot be destroyed. And in the in the long term, the degradation of the Islamic State in the long term will make them vastly, not only stronger, but vastly more popular, and will ultimately be as counterproductive as Zygmunt Brzezinski renting the Taliban and Al-Qaeda from Pakistan. It will be counterproductive.
I'm just wondering how they can expect, how the West can expect to be effective. At the beginning of the 20th century, you know, military strategists sort of held air power in contempt until Billy Mitchell sunk a ship with a bomb from an airplane. You know, now things have gone to totally to the other extreme.
Yeah, well, also
overemphasis on air power.
Well, also when we managed to pummel Germany by firebombing its cities, and then when we caused Japan, which would have fought to the death to stop fighting because we were firebombing Japanese women and children by the tens of thousands each night, we became aware that terror can be perpetrated by air. You can cause people to lose the will to fight if you're willing to kill enough women and children. And so that really is the purpose. Now, we always talk about air superiority as the providing cover for tanks and artillery and troops and that sort of thing to operate. But it didn't work in Iraq. It didn't work in Afghanistan. It's not going to work in Syria. It didn't work in Vietnam. It didn't work in Korea. You know, we failed in Korea. We failed in Vietnam. We failed in Afghanistan. We failed in Iraq. Why do they think we're going to succeed now in Syria? What do they say about insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result? There is a 0% possibility we will prevail.
Where did it work? In densely populated, highly structured urban environments, that's where it works. And that's not what they have to shoot at here.
But it only works in an all-out war where you are willing to sacrifice millions of civilians, millions of women and children, to break the will of a country to fight. And so you have to be engaged in an all-out war to do that. And if we were to, as America, use the only technique that's ever worked in terms of air power and bombing, and we were to apply it to Syria or Iraq, I can assure you that we would enrage Muslims and motivate them to the point where America would be destroyed within 5 years. If we take the tactic that the way to deal with the Islamic State in Mosul is to firebomb Mosul or any of the other cities in Syria and Iraq, we would be signing our own death certificate.
Right, right. And right before I go here, one last thing about Ukraine. RT was featuring an interesting little retrospective on the coup and the events leading up to the seating of the present government in Ukraine under Poroshenko. And well, you know, and they were showing what I've always emphasized was this use of this neo-Nazi fascist rabble, you know, to in the streets. And that was largely Julia Tymoshenko. And you don't hear about her anymore. She's out of the way.
Right.
Her out of the way.
Right.
They got all the Murray Band where they got rid of everybody except Yatsenyuk.
And she was just like every other Ukrainian leader. She was had her hands out and greasing her own pockets. Yeah, she's a criminal. She is a thug and a criminal, as are almost all Ukrainian political and military leaders. They're thugs. This is a grotesquely immoral group of people.
Right, and now all we keep hearing about is how now this is the legitimate government. How dare Putin involve himself in the meddling in the affairs?
The legitimate government that our coup toppled. That was not a legitimate government, and now that you have a coup-led government, that one is legitimate. You know, they're having a vote later this week, in Scotland to for the Scottish to determine whether they want to be part of the UK anymore. And, you know, the world is going to adhere to that vote. You know, if they say no, it'll be no. If they say yes, it'll be yes. But when Ukrainians voted to be disassociated with the Soviet Union, everyone said, yay, we acknowledge that. And when the Crimeans voted 97% to be disassociated with the Ukraine, no, we don't pay any attention to that. That vote doesn't count.
Can you imagine how much better things would be over there right now if Yanukovych had been permitted to ink that deal with Putin?
Oh, wow. Yeah, America would have not squandered $30 billion worth of aid. We wouldn't have a downed Malaysian aircraft. 3,000 people who are now dead would be alive. We wouldn't have the Ukraine as a dependency of the United States. We wouldn't have Russia rearming itself and developing more weapons to destroy America because of our belligerence. Oh, my. The difference. We wouldn't have the threat of gas cutoffs for Europe. We wouldn't even have the Iranian-Russian deal that followed. So many things would be so much better. The stupid FBI director, James Comey, hedged in August when asked how many Americans are fighting in Syria. And he doesn't even know who they would be fighting on behalf of. He says, when I give you a number of more than 100, I can't tell you with high confidence that it's a 100 of 200, 100 of 500, 100 of 1,000, or even more. Because it's so difficult to track. That's the reality. Is we don't have a clue. Don't even have a clue. How many Americans infected with this most vicious and deadly disease, Islam, have gone over to be murderers, to be assassins, to be those who spread the hate, the rage, the inhumanity that is Islam. He said the FBI agents have tried to distinguish between people only chatting about potentially extremist ideologies, whom he called mouth runners, and those taking steps to engage in terrorism. You notice the FBI. God damn the FBI. Can't say Islamic ideologies. No, it had to be extremist ideologies. He won't say Islamic ideology. He won't say quoting the Quran and Hadith. He won't say following Muhammad's example. No, it's extremist ideologies because America's FBI and CIA are counterproductive in this. They're deceiving everyone on behalf of the true nature of jihad. He said, this is a great country with lots of traditions of protecting mouth running. We should continue that, but those who are inclined to cross the line, I've got to focus on them. What line? The moment somebody admits that they're a Muslim, they're a threat. When they go to a mosque, they're a threat. If they go to Islamic websites not to expose and condemn them, but to embrace them, they're a threat. The threat is Islam. The disease is Islam. The deadly pathogen is Islam. Until we admit that, until we acknowledge that, until we recognize that, we will continue to flounder and be vulnerable. Conley, a trained nurse's aide from Arvada, Colorado, told agents from the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force that if she couldn't fight with the Islamic State, that she hoped to use her nursing skills to help them, according to the court documents. In several meetings over 8 months, FBI agents repeatedly tried to discourage her, suggesting that she explore humanitarian work instead. With the FBI's counselors now. They're career counselors. Isn't that lovely? The Federal Bureau of Investigation are religious and career counselors. Talk about misplaced authority. But Connolly, a Muslim convert, oh, gee, you think that Islam was the problem? Whose traditional headscarf stood out in her suburban neighborhood, told them that she planned to marry a suitor she met online, a man she believed was a Tunisian and fought with the Islamic State. Yeah, the number of Tunisians there is extraordinarily high, as are the number of fighters from Libya. The FBI encouraged Connolly's parents to talk to her about finding more moderate beliefs. Yes, you see, they were religious counselors. Her father refused to let her marry her suitor and then discovered the one-way ticket to Turkey with her name on it. Why is it? I mean, what is it about America now that you can't express your religion? Jihad is an essential part of Islam. Islam ceases to exist without jihad. And so, while I am opposed to the First Amendment in terms of religious freedom, because it is the religion of Islam that will destroy this country, the fact is that so long as Americans are don't annul the religious freedom edict, that there should be no interference in the free, unabated ability to practice a religion, then we have absolutely no right as a country to stop somebody from wanting to engage in jihad. It's fundamental to Islam. Or an adult flying across the world to engage in jihad.